Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
The dirty secrets of terms of service.
Plus, I'm going to show you how you can have your watch really annoy you even more.
And how to call your elected representative with one click.
Let's do it. It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Blue Bottle Coffee. Get fresh, high-quality, delicious coffee delivered right to your door. Visit BlueBottleCoffee.com/iOS today for your free trial of Blue Bottle Coffee. And by Hover. Register a domain name with Hover and build your online brand today. Go to Hover.com/twit and save 10% off your first purchase. And by 23andMe. With 23andMe's genetic service, you can learn what percentage of your DNA comes from places like Italy, Finland, East Asia, or Africa. Visit 23andMe.com/twit. iOS Today time, today time, today time. I missed you, Megan Maroney.
I missed you too,
Lou. Nice to be back.
Yes, we burned down the old set while you were gone.
I noticed. we're now sitting at a table, but that's okay. If most people don't watch lives, yeah. I mean, you know, videos, so they don't know that we sound the same, right?
Mm-hmm. I asked that you be further away from me.
I noticed. So. I'm now in the prescribed 10 feet.
Yes.
No, this is the show where we talk about iOS, and there's a lot to say since I left and came back. Mm-hmm. iPhone, Apple Watch, iPad, Apple TV. There's a ton of new stuff. There's new Apple TV. There's a new Apple Watch. There's a new iPhone. The only thing that's not new is the iPad, but we have iOS 11 for that. So lots of new stuff. But today we're not going to talk about the new stuff because you've done that already with Jason right. and Serenity, and
We'll talk a little bit about it, but first,
I have the new watch, so I thought
we will talk about that. But first, I wanted to call in the lawyers.
Uh-oh.
We wanted to talk a little bit about terms of service, so we have...
My favorite lawyer.
The princess of terms of service, Denise Howell.
Denise Howell. Wow, I'm going to print that on my business card.
Denise Howell is, of course, the host of This Week in Law every week on this network every Friday, but she is, you may not know, I'm sure you must, an attorney specializing in intellectual property. She is a longtime blogger. In fact, that's how we met. She was a very well-known blogger, and I said, Denise, would you mind, please, doing a show for us? And today, we thought we'd talk about terms of service because there's a site that Steve Gibson found that really helps. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Terms of Service Didn't Read. Do you use that site, Denise?
I've certainly looked at it. We featured it as a resource of the week a couple of times on This Week in Law. It's very much a work in progress.
Because it's crowdsourced, right?
Yes. It's crowdsourced. They have a few key sites and a few obscure ones that they have gone through the terms and given them a grade. What I really love is the concept.
Yes. TOSDR.org for people who want to visit the site.
Right.
So you can also add, which I really like, a browser extension that will tell you, and they have this very simple to use classification system, green for class A, red for class E, and they go through all the, basically too long, didn't read, give you the highlights of the terms of service, so you can just kind of decide if you're comfortable with it. And using the Chrome extension would make that even more useful.
Right, and if you're interested in what's behind the grade, it makes it very straightforward to look through and say, oh, well, I don't care so much about those issues, so I'm comfortable with that, but I care about these, so I'm going to steer clear.
Exactly.
I sent you a lot of the ideas I had, Denise, and you made sure to point out that I was confusing in many ways privacy policies and terms of service. So we should probably start there. How would you describe the difference between the privacy policy and the terms of service?
A privacy policy is disclosure. It's not an agreement between you and whoever you're doing business with. It's them telling you what they're doing and how they're going to use your data. And the reason that they're telling you, sometimes it's out of the goodness of their heart, but sometimes it's because This is a highly regulated area, and they have to, particularly in California. California for a long time has had some of the most stringent disclosure requirements about privacy practices. So if you want to do business here in California, you have to comply. And just about everybody does want to do business here in California. So even though there are different laws throughout the United States and the world and different federal laws in the United States, if you want to do business in California, you have to comply with our standards. And so it has become the de facto standard. And that's why you see a lot of similar language in privacy policies, because they're making the disclosures that they have to based on the laws that have existed here in California for a long time.
Yeah, we did. I think we've always had a privacy policy that I wrote, big mistake, because I wanted it to be clear, human, and intelligible. And we don't, on twit.tv, on our website, we don't really collect any information. You don't have an account. Mm-hmm. But we were contacted by a trade organization, which threatened to turn us into the FTC if we didn't adhere to their standards. And that's also true with ad choices. So if you go to twit.tv and you go to the bottom of the page there, you'll see our privacy policy and ad choices. And it made me kind of sad, because we had to use a lawyer, and we had to write too long, didn't read a privacy policy. We don't have a terms of service, because there are no terms of service, really. But we do. I think it's important to have a privacy policy. I'm just sad that I couldn't do a, you know, easy, straightforward English privacy policy. In fact, many of the things in here aren't even really appropriate to what we do. But
yeah, and you can always review and decide whether it fits what we're doing at Twit well or not, and make some alterations, as long as you're, you know, ticking all the boxes of the things you have to disclose.
Right.
Which have to do, you know, if there's, we are an ad supported venture. And if we're collecting any information about users via ads, if people are being tracked, et cetera, that's the kind of thing that a privacy policy needs to deal with. And Megan, you asked about the difference between a privacy policy and terms of service. Terms of service want to be an agreement between whoever you're dealing with, the company, the website, whatever, and yourself. And why I say want to be is the only way to form an enforceable agreement is to make sure you're actually complying with the rules of contract formation. So for years and years, we would see terms of service on the web that were just, you know, lurking behind a link. They were there. Hardly anyone clicked on the link. If they did, they probably didn't read the terms. And that became referred to as browse wrap, sort of a evolution of the word shrink wrap from software licensing. And what has evolved in the courts is that, and there's a lot of back and forth and disagreement and, you know, different court decisions over time. But the upshot is that browse wrap is not a contract. In order to form an enforceable contract, that's why you always see pop-up boxes asking you to click or check or select something, do some kind of affirmative action on your part as the user that confirms that you are agreeing to the terms. Once you've done that, you have a contract. Oh. And those are enforceable as long as the terms within them are enforceable. And that can get complicated as well.
Now you see why there's TOSDR.org.
Right.
But I have problems with TOSDR.org. And one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you is I think there is kind of standard boilerplate that's included in many of these terms of services. Things like these services may change at any time without notice, that put up red flags on TOSDR. And many people say, oh my gosh. But that are really just almost, I don't want to say meaningless, but kind of required legalese that doesn't, well, you tell me, Denise, is that something I should worry about?
You shouldn't, because the fact that you see phrases over and over again isn't reflecting that they are required legalese. It's reflecting that sometimes people cobble together their policies and terms of service without using lawyers, so they're copying and pasting. Sometimes lawyers do copy and paste from each other or from the old work that they did a long time ago before courts came around and made a decision that impacts what they did a long time ago. So you can still see this sort of legacy language out there. But the one you called out, we can change terms on you at any time. It goes right to what I was talking about how if you want these things to be an enforceable contract, you can't have a contract with terms that people haven't agreed to. So you have courts stepping in and saying, hey, wait a minute, you made a material change to your terms of service and now you're trying to enforce them, but that wasn't what the person clicked okay on when you made them do that. So that new term that you tried to add isn't effective. So that's why you start to see, like you'll see a little slice up at the top sometimes that says, our terms have changed, be sure to read them. Sites are now responding to what courts have had to say about this. And when they make big changes, they are trying to give people notice because they understand now that if they don't give adequate notice, they might not be able to make those terms stick.
So what you're saying is that I might have agreed to that line that says the terms may change at any time, but unless I agree and check that box in the new terms, then I'm not that contract. I don't have a contract of those new terms.
It's kind of moot because who reads them anyway? So you often get this, our terms and services have changed. Please read this and click agree. And what do? Agree.
Yeah.
Agree, right.
We don't read them.
People need to know that when they're clicking agree, especially when they go to that extra step of there's a pop-up box that comes up and they have to click agree, they are entering into a contract. And those terms, the ones that are enforceable, can be enforced against them. Now, when courts come along and say, you're not allowed to just say you can change your contract at any time, that goes against contract law. That means that lawyers have put in that document something that was not enforceable and the courts aren't going to enforce. So just because you see it in a document doesn't mean it can necessarily be enforced against you.
Apple's, a good example of this is Apple's iTunes contract, which is 56 pages. That's why TOSDR exists, right? But I'm not sure I agree with some of the things TOSDR says. What should people do when they're confronted with a 56-page legal document that they're asked to agree to before they can use their new iPhone?
That's a really hard question, Leo, because of course you want to use your new device. The thing about Apple and Google and other large companies, and I'll put a big asterisk there because even large companies can make mistakes in drafting these kinds of documents. Zappos had a big terms of service problem a couple of years ago. Safeway had a big one. You go through the case law and you go, God, how did somebody this sophisticated with this crew of lawyers on call manage to get this so wrong? But it does happen. Anyway, with that asterisk, when you're dealing with Apple and Google and others, you can be somewhat assured that they are attempting not to put things in their documents that are not going to be enforceable against you. So you can make the assumption that everything in there, you can make this assumption that everything in there is in there because it benefits the company and covers the company's rear end in some way.
I did assume that.
Yeah. And you can
also assume. The question is, does it harm me?
Well, it might. And that's why, you know, we need more people looking at these documents and going, ho, 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 you know, in the middle of this 56 pages, there's this huge red flag. And this does harm consumers. And thankfully, there are a lot of people who take it into their hearts and schedules to do that way more than there used to be. And TOSDR is a great resource, great sort of manifestation of that. But they're certainly not the only one. You know,
do you need to be a lawyer, though, to really read these terms and interpret them appropriately? Don't you?
to interpret them, to know all the ramifications of them, maybe, but simply to read them and realize, gee, I appear to be giving the company rights here that maybe I'm not comfortable with. Maybe I should look at that further. Maybe I should consult a lawyer or consult, you know, other lawyers that have looked at this online and are sharing information. You don't need to be a lawyer
to
sort of
hire a lawyer.
I mean, you should. If
I'll give you an example, Denise. Yeah. This is one that comes up all the time. And it's the issue of who owns your content. And a lot of social media sites have been bit by a clause that people read, interpret to mean that the company can do anything they want with your content, including sell it and reuse it. And sometimes that's true. But sometimes those clauses are required because the company is going to be caching your content on servers all over the world. And so they reserve the right to make a copy of your content as they choose. And people sometimes misinterpret that, not merely legally, but technically, right? They don't really understand why that's in there.
Exactly. They don't understand why it's in there. And that's a really good example. You asked me sort of the absurd question, does everybody need to be hiring a lawyer to review these things? Everybody, of course, can't do that. But if you're a photographer or a videographer, or somebody who makes a living off of the creative works that you are uploading to some third-party service, you're going to want to have a lawyer take a look at those terms and decide what you're giving away, because it can impact how you – it can. It doesn't always, but it can impact how you might be able to use your own works, sell your own works, make a living off your own works after the fact. One really great resource I will toss into the mix here. Of course, I blanked on it just as I thought of it. New Media Rights, that's what they're called. They're affiliated with California Western Law School. They're the clinic, I believe, of that law school in San Diego. And they provide incredibly helpful resources and guides if you are a creative person who is using the internet to make a living and you're concerned about rights that you have, rights that you're giving away as you're using services to distribute your work. Definitely make New Media Rights a part of your education, because it'll be very helpful for you. But the clause that you hit on, Leo, you know, we all encounter, we all agree to in various ways. You know, if you're using any form of social media, that language is going to be there. If you're using any form of photo sharing, that language is going to be there. And you're right. You're giving rights for rights that the service needs in order to work, rights that the service needs to have in order to allow other users on the service to reshare your works, if that's what you're involved in, some sort of social site where resharing is what it's all about. So if you're not a photographer or other person who needs to be worried about how their works are licensed, then it may not be as big a deal to you.
Instagram got a little bit for this, and they rewrote their terms and, in fact, said now specifically Instagram does not – it's kind of hard to read. That's another thing, by the way. This is called fine print for a reason. Instagram does not claim ownership of any content you post, but you are granting Instagram a non-exclusive, fully paid and royalty-free, transferable, sub-licensable, worldwide license to use the content you post in the service. Some people look at that and go, what does that mean? They could license my content, right? And I understand why people would be concerned about that. They're not asserting ownership, but they're saying I could, in effect, this sounds like they could sell it.
It does. And I think that sites do that so that, as I said, they can allow others using their services to use the works that are uploaded.
So you kind of have to reshare. Trust Instagram that they're not going to sell it. This is necessary for resharing.
Right. And you know what Google has done, because Google's gone back and forth and had issues around, you know, sort of PR issues around that kind of language as well. It's added a purpose to why you're granting.
I love that.
The license to
that
Google.
Helps.
The license that you grant is, quote unquote, for the limited purpose of operating, promoting, and improving existing and new Google services. So they're specifically telling you, yes, you're granting us this license, but here's why you're doing that. And if we exceed that purpose, then presumably you could have something to say about it.
Right.
And so there's the court, and then there's the court of public opinion, right? I mean, you said before that there's big companies make mistakes, but are you kind of saying that it's smarter to read the terms of service in a small company, a new app, someone you've never heard about, than if you're going to take the time to really investigate those as opposed to Google, Facebook, Apple?
I think, and you know, I mean, I'm a lawyer, and I preach this to people because their rights are impacted. I don't think you can rule out it reading any terms of service or being concerned about them. You can make some assumptions about small companies versus big companies, but whoever you're dealing with, those terms are going to impact your rights and your data. And if it's important enough to you, you should know what they say. I try and get my family to read terms of service the way that I do. And of course, that doesn't go anywhere. And if I can't get them to do it, I don't know how I get anybody else to do it. But I guess I default to the fact that if something is really problematic, it does tend to surface and get discussed and oftentimes changed. When something is really detrimental to consumers, oftentimes sites will go, you know what, we really don't need to be that grasping in the rights that we're giving ourselves, and we can alter the terms so that everybody's interests are more accurately looked after.
There's another issue that sometimes comes up, which is that, as we talked about earlier, companies do have to reserve the right to change those rules. They also usually agree to notify you. But at least in Apple's case, and I think many other companies, the way they notify you is by giving you another 56-page agreement and saying, our rules have changed. Please read this. Mm-hmm. And I would love it if they would say, here's what's changed. Do you agree to that? Is there a reason they don't do that?
And there are court decisions out there that say when you're giving a notification of a change, you need to give a meaningful notification. And you can't just throw your boilerplate at people and say, okay, so we let you know that we made a change. Go find it.
Good luck.
Yes. They do require, in order for that to be enforced against the people that companies want to enforce again, it's in the company's interest to let people know exactly what has changed and in plain English.
Is there a difference between terms of service and terms of use?
No. Same beast.
Just another phrase.
Just another word.
Okay.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know if you guys saw back in 2011, going way back here, but right before Zynga went public, they did an interesting experiment that goes to people don't read, and we all know people don't read, and maybe we can fix that. Zynga, being a gaming company, made something that they called Privacy Bill for their privacy policy.
What a great idea.
It was a game. And you navigated around the game and you learned things along the way. And it could have been better. It could have been more fun. It could have had you face dire consequences if you gave all your rights away to a third party. But it just basically was trying to use game mechanics to explain better what their privacy policy
was.
You
understand, though, that people get the feeling that companies actually don't want them to read the terms of service, don't want them to know. Mm-hmm. That's why they put it in fine print. That's why it's so long. That's why they flash it in front of you and say, come on, just agree so you can use this product. So it's nice when a company like Zynga, which unfortunately this didn't help Zynga, but it's nice when a company like Zynga says, no, we would like you to know what we're agreeing to. But that is the exception that proves the rule.
No, it's definitely, it was like a wild experiment they tried. And I don't know if they have data about, you know, how many people played the game or not, but it would be interesting to know. But I love seeing novel approaches that address the fact that people don't read these things. And everyone knows that people don't read these things. Courts know it too. And courts are getting more and more interested in trying to limit companies from putting terms in their agreements that no one reads, that render those agreements or those portions of those agreements unenforceable. And courts are not shy about saying, well, you did this arbitration agreement, for example, but you didn't cross all the T's and dot all the I's, so we're not going to enforce it, and you're going to have to go to trial with your customers who want to sue you.
There was a funny piece in The Guardian over the summer of a Wi-Fi company that put a clause in their terms of service that said that if you agreed to this, you would clean up sewage.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
With a variety of things.
Yes, yeah. You would exchange your firstborn child, yeah. Various things. I mean, and people
and nobody
signed
read it.
Nobody signed it. They're cleaning sewage to this day.
But Denise made a good point that the reason people don't read it is because they have the presumption that the company that they're dealing with is acting in their good faith and isn't going to do anything rude. And if they did, they'd be caught out and it would be a blight on their record. I mean, Apple's never going to be. It was a South Park episode, wasn't it? Where Apple took your firstborn if you agreed to the terms of service. And, you know, they can't do that. It would really reflect poorly on them. And the good news is there's so many people, so many guardians out there, people like Denise who do read these, who will raise the alarm if something bad happens. And we've seen this happen numerous times over the last few years that I think you could feel somewhat confident that you're not going to be disadvantaged, at least by a major company.
Well, it was like when Pokemon Go came out last year.
Right.
And there was an arbitration clause that you had to opt out of. And I think you had 30 days to opt out of it or it would be enforceable against you. And I remember hearing about that within hours after I downloaded the app. So it was definitely information that was out there and spreading. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is an arbitration clause bad? Because everybody has them. We even have them with our employees, arbitration clauses. That means instead of if you can't sue us, you agree to enter arbitration, which is kind of like court. You have a judge and so forth. Why is that a bad thing to agree to?
It's not necessarily a bad thing to agree to, but it's a bad thing to agree to probably before you know what your dispute is about and where your dispute might be tried. It, just to blanket give away your right to a jury trial is not real advantageous from a consumer standpoint. It's advantageous from a company standpoint because arbitration tends to be less expensive. It tends to, I wouldn't say that it tends to favor big companies at all, but juries are a wild card. And if you're the little David going up against some huge Goliath, you might have a better shot in front of a jury before you would before a panel of
And Goliath knows well that juries hate Goliaths.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Goliaths don't want to go in front of juries either. That's also a bad thing. It would be, I would imagine, a legal malpractice practically for an attorney to write an agreement for a Goliath that didn't include an arbitration clause, though, right? It's just everybody does it.
Right, but there was a decision recently out of the Ninth Circuit involving Uber, where Uber wanted to enforce arbitration with its employees, and there was an issue over whether it could. Ultimately, that clause was found to be enforceable because Uber had an opt-out. The employees could opt out if they had read the agreement, right, which everyone doesn't read. If the opt-out was there and it was prominent enough, it was communicated clearly to employees that the opt-out was there. And so it was found to be enforceable. But the message of that for companies is, gee, we better include an opt-out and we better make sure that people know that it's there or it could have gone the other way, right?
Interesting.
And for individuals, I think it really makes sense to comb through and see if there's an arbitration clause, if there's an opt-out. Exercise it because it doesn't hurt you to opt out. You can always choose later to arbitrate if you actually wind up being in a dispute with that company, and the company's gonna want to arbitrate, so they'll go, "Oh yeah, heck yeah, we'd be happy to arbitrate with you if that's what you decide to do."
Right. Great stuff, Denise.
Yes.
Howell. This Week in Law is every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC, and it is a must listen. It is just really engaging and fascinating. It's exactly like what we just did. A great way to understand your rights and some of the weird twists and turns that happen every week in the tech law and IP law. And Denise and her partners do a great job on that.
Just like
Thank
us, except
so much.
Three lawyers.
Pardon me?
Just like us, except everybody else is a lawyer.
Actually, it was great when Patrick Delahanty's dad, who was a former justice, U.S. prosecutor for the state of Maine, right?
Yeah, he was a former judge and the U.S. attorney for the state of Maine.
Was on a couple of weeks ago. It was really great. And he had that great accent, too. I loved it. Thank you, Denise.
Thanks, Denise.
Thanks so much. Great to see you guys.
Nice to see you.
Take
well,
care.
I hope we've helped. TOSDR.org still, I think, is worth having just because it'll at least highlight any issues. And they are looking for people to help because it is a crowdsourced service. So,
you know, when I sit down and read long terms of services, I like to do that with a cup of coffee.
Oh, gosh, I have the right solution for you. I am so excited about this.
I am really excited, too.
You know that, well, you're a coffee lover, right?
Yes, I love this coffee. I'm so glad they're the sponsor. I had some this morning.
I consider myself actually a bit of a connoisseur.
Of coffee?
Of coffee.
I'm not, but Blue Bottle has made me a connoisseur of coffee. I think, yeah. Like, I know this sounds like something that they told me to say, but they didn't tell me to say this. I thought I didn't care about coffee, but I started drinking this, and, like, they say that you have, they gave us some beans, you have to grind them up, and right away have the coffee. Like, you can't just have the
grain. Fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, their tea. I think they're bringing better coffee to the world. Blue Bottle is very well known in San Francisco, where it is, I think, considered by all and sundry to be the best coffee. And when it's coffee town, like San Francisco says, Blue Bottle's the best. Now, of course, Blue Bottle's available all over the country. You can get it yourself. They have an insane dedication to coffee. As you say, freshness is very important. This is a fun one that I have right here. This is the Costa Rica Chiripo Regulo de Rivas. This is a single source coffee. So this is I have a Blue Bottle kit. We're going to tell you how you can sign up for a free trial of fresh, delicious Blue Bottle. You want to get it every, you know, what is it, weekly or every, I guess it's bi-weekly, because you don't want it, never a stale bean. And you want to get a good grinder. They'll help you do that too. And what's nice is these packages come sealed, but they're resealable. Oh, and man, this one is, I made this the other day, and I just smell that. It is so, it's almost like candy or fruit or something, isn't it?
Can I eat the beans? Probably not.
You can. Oh. Blue Bottle works directly with farmers all over the world to source the most delicious, sustainable coffee they can find. 85% of it's certified organic. Most of the blends certified organic. They roast them, not when they get the beans, but when you order the beans. Now, this is very different from a lot of places. Within 48 hours of your order, they then roast them. So you're going to guarantee when you get those beans that they were roasted in the last few days. Peak freshness. They have not been sitting on the shelf for weeks. They have something for everyone's palate. This is a blend that I really like. This might be my favorite Blue Bottle. It has been for a long time. It's called Giant Steps. It is deep. Let me see. There's a card in here. So I'm going to read you. This is so fun. Let me show you the resealable. So you open it up, which I already have, and then you can reseal it. It's like, and this is 12 ounces, which is good. You don't want 2 pounds.
No.
Because you won't drink it fast enough. That's why they do it bi-weekly. Let me read you Giant Steps. It's a bit more one-dimensional than our other drip blends, but it's a good dimension. Ugandan and Sumatran selections combined for an ultra-balanced, dense, and chocolatey cup that stands up to cream quite well. That's why I like it. I use heavy cream with this. No sugar. You don't need it.
No.
In fact, you don't really even need cream.
No.
These are never biting, never acidic. They're just smooth, delicious blends. Although they do say if this coffee were any heavier bodied, you could pour it on pancakes. Viscous, fudgy, substantial. Now you know why I like Giant Steps.
Can I tell you my first Blue Bottle experience?
Yes.
So, like I said, I didn't know if I liked fancy coffee. Any coffee was fine. And if you've been watching this show, you know I have weird quirks. Like I run the Beta Breakers every year with a bunch of ladies. We're the Mother Cluckers. And we take the ferry. And in the ferry building in San Francisco,
they have Blue Bottle.
They have Blue Bottle coffee. And I needed coffee. And I was like, I'll just have that coffee. And it took a little while because they make it there. Like they do all their fancy stuff right there.
They do a pour, what do they call it, pour through?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a drip. It's really amazing.
And so I had my
when
coffee.
You have a well-made coffee.
And then I ran 12 miles. And
there wasn't even a race then.
No.
She was just, the race was later.
No, it was, yeah, exactly. It was delicious, though.
Oh, it is so good.
Yeah,
it
really like
it. It is so good. You will find a Blue Bottle style to suit you, but here's how you get started. Go to bluebottlecoffee.com/iOS today for a free trial. It will then become a 12-ounce shipment of your selected coffee type with bi-weekly delivery. Of course, you can change it, pause it, or cancel the subscription at any time. You're not locked in. But if you sign up for the free trial, you can also claim $10 towards your first order. So this is really, like, there's no, Just do it. You will find the best coffee you've ever had. I promise you. BlueBottleCoffee.com/iOS today. I've been trying to get these guys to advertise on the show for so long. I don't know James, the founder, but I know people who've invested in it. Just try it and you'll see why everybody loves Blue Bottle Coffee. You will too. And freshness, and they have instructions on it's actually, it's funny, you don't need a big fancy machine. You don't need an expensive machine at all. You just need a drip and it's the pour over and it's so good.
And as you know, I want to have all my things delivered via subscription
service. I know.
Service.
It's the best ever.
Yeah. Never to have to shop again.
Well, you don't want to run out, and you don't want to go to Costco and buy 8 pounds of coffee because that's going to be stale. BlueBottleCoffee.com/iOS today.
So you got your new Apple Watch Series 3 with the red badge of courage.
And that's really the only reason to get it, so that when people, you know, you're walking down the street and you go, oh, I wonder what time it is. They go, oh, you're a fancy man. You're a fancy man. You have the new Series 3 watch. Now, I actually got the Series 3 with LTE. And a couple of tips for you. There are new, and let me show you on the iPhone. It'll be a little easier. There are some new watch faces. There's a Siri face, which makes it really, although it's easy to talk to Siri, you just hold the stem.
But she talks back to you now.
She now talks, which is frankly a huge improvement. There's a Toy Story face. There's a kaleidoscope face. Let me go to the face gallery. You can see some of these new faces that are just from watchOS, and many of you will have this. But if you get the one with LTE, you're going to want to use the Explorer face because, see those dots, those four dots? That's the only way to know if you're on LTE. Mm. Now, so Siri was responding. She's dictating everything I said.
She's listening.
This is the Explorer face. You can tell because I have the phone next to me. I'm not on LTE. But if I were to leave the phone at home, it would then know that, you know, it would then say, oh, good. Well, I'm going to connect to either the Wi-Fi that I know about or LTE. Now, remember, there is a little bug in this, which I'm sure Apple will fix, that if you're at what they call a captive portal, that's usually those open access points where you get a screen that you sign into, you agree.
Starbucks McDonald's.
Or whatever. Almost everybody does this. That's called a captive portal. It's kind of it's really not a good way to do Wi-Fi. It's a hack, a kludge created to make it work in these open access points so that you have to sign in instead of just using it.
Right. You have to agree, like we said.
You have to agree. It's a, mm-hmm. it's a way in to put an agreement service, in front yeah. of you. The problem is, at that point, they put a cookie or some sort of identifier. Maybe they register your MAC address of your phone. And that way the phone can use it. So you go to Starbucks, you got your phone, you sign in, use the Wi-Fi, you go home. Now you leave your phone at home, you go back into the Starbucks. Well, the Apple Watch knows about that Starbucks because it has everything that you've logged into. And it thinks it has the password, but it doesn't. It's on the phone. It's the cookie or the MAC address or whatever. You have a different networking address, a MAC address. You don't have the cookie. Whatever authentication Starbucks or McDonald's or any of these open Wi-Fi access points use is stored on the phone, not on the watch. But the watch says, oh, I know this Wi-Fi. It joins it, turns off the cellular radio, and now you have zero connectivity because it isn't, in fact, on that network. It can't join the network. So that's a bug. It's a known bug. Just it's something to be aware of. But one of the reasons you want the four dots face is because at least you'll know when you're on cellular. If I were to take this phone and put it, you know, far, far away, it wouldn't happen right away, by the way. That radio is not on all the time to save battery life. But every once in a while, you'd see those four dots, and that would let you know, yes, cellular's working, and I'm getting an internet connection.
Serenity said that if you turn Wi-Fi off and back on, they'll turn it back off.
This is an unproven but seems to work thing. Apple hasn't recommended it. Seems to be a workaround you can use. I haven't run into it yet, but the next time I do, I will try it.
Have you left your phone at home and just used the watch?
No, I never leave my phone at home. Why would I leave my phone at home? I need my phone. What's interesting is eventually, I think, Apple, maybe not next year or in the year after, but in a few years, Apple will start selling the watch as a phone. Horace Didiou in his blog, Asimco, points this out. He says, when the iPhone came out, it was three things. It was an internet communication tool. It was a phone. It was a music player. It was an iPod. He said those are all now in this watch. The watch has more smarts. It's faster, more memory, more storage even than the original iPhone. The original iPhone didn't even do 3G. This does LTE. So in many respects, this is better than the original iPhone. He said in years to come, expect the watch in many ways to be your phone. I don't know if that's true. I think it might have to have some other maybe augmented reality system for more information. But they're making steps. This is the gray ceramic, and I never understand why the most expensive, these are the edition watches, Apple watches, come with the fluoroelastomer, the plastic bands, but they do. But I've ordered, as one would expect, a bunch of bands to go with the gray. But I think that's kind of pretty, don't you?
I do. I think it's very nice looking.
I haven't had much experience yet with the new heart rate stuff. It'll tell you what your resting heart rate is. It'll tell you what your heart rate variability is. These things are useful for diagnosis of your overall physical health.
Did you? But you paired it. Am I still following you? You have 82 calories.
I have no rings.
11%.
I have nothing. Mm-hmm. No rings. No rings.
Do you like the new ring? When you close a ring, now there's an animation that's fiery and fireworks.
At this point, all Apple can do is things like that. This still is a little ways off from being a truly useful thing. You still can't use it without an iPhone. You have to have an iPhone if you're going to use an Apple Watch.
You don't have to have it with you, but you have to own it.
Yeah, you have to own one.
Would you, for an experiment sake, like on one of your day offs, Thursday or Friday?
Just leave my phone at home?
Yeah, try it. I
almost did it today, but then I thought, well, I kind of needed to show stuff on iOS today. I could go, John, why don't you take this somewhere? And don't tell me where. No, that's a different game.
Take it to my house.
Take it. Give it to Mo. Like, take it as far away as possible.
Give it to someone with a gun.
Put it in Megan's office. She has an office in the other building. And maybe that. We'll see. We'll see if those
the
three.
Other
those,
building.
The other building. We'll see if those three. We didn't want to give her an office here. She keeps bringing her snake to work.
Yeah.
No, I'm just teasing. We'll see if those three dots ever show up. If they do, I'll notify you.
Okay. Well, you're. You're still
on fuego.
On the same. So if I had my phone, which doesn't have LTE, and it was, I mean, you'd have to go pretty far because you'd have to be on a different Wi-Fi network.
Oh. Hey, John, bring me my phone back. I think what I have to do is turn it off.
Yeah.
That might have been a better thing.
Turn
You're right, because we'll all be on the same Wi-Fi network. That wouldn't make any difference.
Because right now in my old, series too, I can
Because even though your phone's
messages.
In your office, you can still do all that.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as I'm
Actually, your phone's right next to you.
Yes, my phone is always
What do you think
right
of the red dot? I feel like you could really get the red dot just by little sticker.
Yeah. Oh, can you buy those? I wonder if you can buy little red stickers.
It'll just be a matter of time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I am going to turn this off. How about that?
Turn it off.
That's got to work, right? If you just completely turn it off.
Because your phone would be out of battery. That would be a good safety feature to have.
One of the things about this particular watch face that's kind of cool, and I haven't brought myself to do it, but one of the complications, those are the little things that you can change in here. One of the complications is a phone. So you can make a phone. Should I make a phone? I could try making a phone call. Isn't that wild? It's a phone.
Without your phone.
And my phone is now off,
can't really
right?
Can't see it.
Can't see it.
Well, move your wrist up a little bit higher.
Okay, so I can phone favorites, recents, contacts, or keypad.
You might not want to show phone numbers.
Okay, don't show anything. Let me find if I can call Megan. Look, my whole contact list is in here. And there's a very fast way. Actually, it's not showing phone numbers. It's not.
Okay.
It does it by alphabetic. And let's see. Look all the phone numbers I have here. Wow. You could show. There's no phone numbers. It's just names.
It's just names. Look, you have a lot of contacts. You're popular.
I just never delete anything.
I know. Remember, you
These
made fun of me
I
on the screensavers over the weekend because I had all those old phone numbers.
Don't show it now because I'm going to. Oh, yeah. Okay. There it is. Look. Cute. Shows a picture. Okay. I'm calling other. Look at. And she's got. Okay. I'm calling you.
Okay.
Remember, my phone is now turned off.
Look at that. Look, you can show my screen now. You're calling me. That works. Here.
Hey, Megan, how you
Megan,
doing?
How you doing?
Hey, that sounds pretty good. Let me go get on my paddleboard.
Okay,
let's see how it sounds. If I leave it on the desk, does it sound okay? Can you hear me?
Hear me?
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's yeah. great. Yeah.
I mean, you'd kind of want to put it a little closer. But that's not that's bad. Fine. Here, let me go in the other room.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to take a
walk. I'll pretend like I'm on the couch.
I can't go anywhere.
Our wireless.
Well, that's kind of cool. So yeah. I'm talking to you now on the phone. It has a mute button, mm-hmm. a hang up button. It shows how long we've been talking, which actually is coincidentally exactly how many hours left of the battery I have. Mm. The bigger the number here, the less battery life. But there you go. And I'll hang up now.
Okay, good.
So that proves it. I've got cellular or Wi-Fi. It would do that on Wi-Fi too, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you can make phone calls on Wi-Fi yeah. if you have Wi-Fi calling.
So you get a choice of favorites, recents, contacts, keypad. I can listen to my voicemail too.
Okay.
That's cool.
What do you think about my new watch?
Oh, look, you got... You got the new Series 3, yeah. do you? Yeah.
Pretty
She's
cool.
got a red dot on there that's yeah. pretty darn mm-hmm. big.
I'm going to keep that on there.
Pretty darn big.
All right. Well, so I know everybody heard what I thought about the iPhone 8 last week.
What did you think? Tell me, because okay. I didn't hear it. Well, I was right there, wasn't I?
You were when I talked about it on the
but
news.
But now you've had it for a little longer.
I've had it, yeah, for about a week and a half. And I like it. It's an amazing phone. It's faster than I would ever need a computer in my pocket.
Do you notice it's faster?
No.
That's the problem.
I just know that.
We know it's faster, yeah. but it didn't. The other one didn't seem slow.
No, the other one didn't seem slow. Like I came from the 7 Plus. I've been using portrait mode. I like the pictures that it takes.
I do not like the pictures it takes.
Look at this picture of Colleen's dog here on my screen.
That's nice. What is that? That's the studio portrait lighting?
Mode.
Portrait.
Yeah, that is... The portrait mode. I think it is, yeah, the portrait mode.
So and it has 5 new modes.
This is, I mean, I could never.
That I hate.
I love
See how it's my
that.
Shoulders are kind of chopped off and
yeah.
some of my hair. And
I think if you had a better expression.
No.
But, you know, it does, it still doesn't, this is low light. This is weird light. This is like,
yeah,
like I would
studio
expect,
lighting.
I took a picture in a place where I expected not to be able to see.
No, the dynamic range is quite good, yeah.
But, you know, it seems like that would have been, I don't know, maybe, like, it seems like that could look better, but that was...
It's, I would say, okay, here's my thought on this.
That was the
That's my
made
thought.
Is, like, content.
Right there.
Yeah.
No, my thought on this is, if you, it's not good, better enough than the iPhone 7, that if you already have an iPhone 7, you don't need to get an iPhone 8.
A 7 Plus.
7 or 7 Plus. Don't
well,
need
the
to
camera
get an 8 or 8
in
plus.
The 7 Plus... Yes. I mean, the camera in the 8, is that equal to the camera in the 7 Plus?
It's a little better, but it's yeah. the same thing. So if you're upgrading from a 7 to an 8 or a 7 Plus to an 8 Plus, I don't think there's that much of a difference. Yeah, if you're going from a 7 to an 8 Plus, okay, maybe because you want the dual lenses. If you're going from a 6S, I'd say it would, it's an iPhone. It doesn't strike me as that different. It's a slightly different. The real question a lot of people are wondering is, should I get this phone or should I wait for the X, mm-hmm. the 10? And this is basically a 10, but the 10 will have a bigger screen with a notch in it and an OLED screen. But it has the same processor, same amount of memory, same amount of storage, same cameras. So I don't think the 10 and I don't know. Apple's really good at taking a feature away being a plus. They took away the headphone jack, and that was a good thing. They're taking away the fingerprint reader on the 8 and to make the 10. And that's a difference. Is it an improvement? I don't know. We'll see. We don't know yet because we haven't tried the face recognition. I have to say, you should, if you have an iPhone, a relatively recent iPhone within the last 2 years, you should be happy and save that money and buy yourself a pizza.
So you're saying if you something. Have a, because I think a 6S from 2 years ago might not be
You would think
be
that, but I guarantee
well.
You if I gave you a 6S, you wouldn't. You'd say, wouldn't. Well, that's similar.
But sometimes.
You don't get the dual lenses. That's maybe, I don't know, it might be an important thing for you.
But don't you agree that, I mean, have you used a phone that was 2 years old anytime recently?
Never.
They
Are you kidding me? I wouldn't use a phone that's 3 months
right.
old.
Right. So if you get a phone, if you bought yourself a 6S last year, that's very different than
my,
a 6S.
My kids use a 6 and an SE, and they don't want a new phone. They feel fine. You won't notice a big speed improvement. If you're really seriously doing a lot of iPhoneography, a lot of iPhone camera work, okay, maybe. because the dual lenses makes a difference. I think these are very, my point is they're small incremental improvements. This is not a revolutionary update. So I think for most people, it's a lot of money. You know, I think the truth is most people buy new iPhones because they want to have the new iPhone. Mm-hmm. Not because they need the features of the new iPhone, but they just want to have the new iPhone.
Right. And you talked about this on Twit and the new screensavers, that notch is like the red dot. It's a fat sign of fashion. It's like, yeah. I have the newest thing. It's like the piano black like the or notch. The glossy black.
Yeah.
You know, just showing everyone, I have the newest
and
iPhone.
And you might have to think about really giving up the fingerprint reader. That works. That's a good technology. It works. It's fast. It's effective. It's reliable. Now, Apple did point out that there are far more false positives with the fingerprint reader. What did they say? One in 50,000 people might have your same fingerprint, could unlock your phone.
Right.
But it was one in a million people could unlock your face with Face ID.
Yeah.
Now that's Apple. We don't, you know, I don't.
Right.
We haven't seen it yet. But
one in a million versus one in 50,000 for Touch ID.
So maybe Face ID is more secure. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it's less convenient. Maybe it's more convenient. I don't know. We just don't know yet.
Right. We don't know yet. And they didn't recommend Face ID for anyone under 13. And I also don't recommend you buy a $1,000 iPhone. I don't know. They just said it's not for kids under 13. It's not going to work. I don't know. The bones in your face might change over time.
It's an interesting number because, of course, 13 is the cutoff for the Child Online Protection and Privacy
Act.
That is a worrisome thing. Because legally, they're not supposed to collect information about people under 13, right? Because of COPPA. They say that the face patterning is stored on the phone only, that they don't send anything
in
back to the server.
In a secure enclave.
In which case, there wouldn't be an issue with a 13, a young person. Why are they saying 13?
And it might be an issue with the
that
way your face
that bothers
changes.
Me. No, it. But why 13? It's different for every person,
that's
right?
That's true.
That makes no sense. 13 is a little too close to that number of the COPPA.
It
bothers me a little
bit. I didn't
bit.
Think too much about it because I just thought if you were buying your 13-year-old $1,000
right.
iPhone,
you'd be nuts
then
anyway.
I would like to have some words with you.
No, I agree with that. However, it seems to me a little bit of a red flag. Why is Apple saying people under 13 shouldn't have an iPhone X?
Maybe they shouldn't use Face ID is what it was. Not that they shouldn't
that
have
makes
the
me
phone.
That makes me even more
But then
nervous.
What do you do? Then it's not secure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should look into that.
I look exactly like I did when I was 13.
Mm-hmm. So what about, like, there's improvements in the color balance. To me, I don't notice any difference in the pictures unless
True
you
tone.
Hold them up to.
Yeah. I don't notice anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's you can list 50 new features. But I don't know if those are going to make a huge difference in your life. They're small incremental improvements.
What do you make of the fact that they always release the new operating system at the same time they release a phone? Because it's hard sometimes to tell the difference between, what is iOS 11 or what is the iPhone 8? And same with the watch. Like, what's the Series 3 watch, or is that a watchOS 4 feature that I would get in an older watch? They always release them at the same time. Is that to build it up?
It's confusing. I think a lot of the features of this new Series 3 watch you can get if you just put the new watchOS 4 on your old watch.
My
I don't think you'll see.
Good watch.
I bet you won't see much of a difference. Now, are you wearing a 42 millimeter?
Yeah. I switched to the 42 millimeter after the Series 0 because my battery would always run out.
Yeah.
And I also, I have a significant wrist. I'm not a tiny wristed lady. So I like it. I like the chunky.
I don't mind a big watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
especially with that dot.
I know.
She has a big red dot sticker.
Yeah. It's pretty.
Yeah.
Thanks. It's really nice. All right. Can I show you a little, speaking of iOS 11, can I show you a little iOS 11 trick?
Yeah. We're still learning more and more about iOS 11. I do like iOS 11. Very happy with it.
So drag and drop, you know, you can drag pictures into.
I haven't done that yet.
I know. Well, you can drag text right into Twitter to
really?
Write a tweet. Yes.
Neat.
So here it is. Let's see. The changes to Twit. This was a blog entry that
Lisa put out yesterday.
Yeah, so here's my Twitter. So I'm doing this slide over screen, so I have Twitter on one side and Safari on the other. And I want to say this gives Megan and Jason the opportunity to give you more context and perspective. And I want to tweet Lisa's blog entry, so I'll just drag it right up into the compose. Oh, it disappeared. Hold on. Let's try that again. Let's try this. It's smaller. Jason Howell and Megan Maroney will host, will continue to host, and the format of the show will change slightly.
Yeah, so we're taking TNT, Tech News Today, and making it Tech News Weekly instead of a Monday through Friday show. It's a Wednesday or Thursday show.
So I want to tweet that out.
So you just copy that. Okay.
I should be able to just drag it. There we
go. Oh, look at, oh, that's pretty. That's one thing Apple's really good at.
There we go.
And then I could tweet that out. Look. Hey, that's nice.
Yeah. I should put quotes around it and
instead of copying and pasting, you can just drag.
Yeah, you just drag. Yeah. You can drag anything. So, I think I like that. Just a little tip for you. If you like to tweet, I feel like it should put quotes in there so that you can prevent plagiarism. But I can add those myself.
It's asking for an awful lot.
It is asking for an awful lot.
It should put a footnote in and give you an IBID reference.
So don't say I never told you anything. Because you can drag and drop photos into Mail, but I don't use the Mail app. I use Newton, and it doesn't do that
yet. You know what I've been doing that's a lot of fun is I've been customizing my control center.
Oh.
You can put – it's kind of mind-boggling how many buttons you could put into control center. You can add buttons for your remote control, for instance. If you use an Apple remote, where's the control center? There it is. So customize controls. This is the default set. Oops, I moved this, didn't I? There you go. This is the default set. But I've added like for my hearing aids, for Apple remote, screen recording, text size. And on my phone, which is turned off so I can demonstrate the features of the watch, I would show you. But I have so many, it fills up the whole screen.
Oh, and
it's a truly baffling display.
But you don't have you don't have screen recording on there.
I don't really have an occasion to use that.
Oh, even to show off, to help your mom with something?
No. But I do like being able to control the Apple TV with this. That is really, really nice. Because basically this becomes an Apple TV remote on the iPad. It's actually even nicer. So instead of, you can do the same thing by launching the app, but having it in the control center makes it, handy right away. You could take a note right away. Boom.
Yes.
Boom.
Take a note.
Take a note.
You don't have to ask me to do that anymore.
Yeah. Boom.
Take a note, Maroney.
Take a note, Maroney.
You can still say that when you use that feature.
Yep. If I had hearing aids on, I could control them, see what my battery is, all that stuff.
All right.
I don't wear hearing aids when I'm talking to you because you're so damn loud.
I am loud. That's because, Okay. So loudly later in the show, I want to talk about bulging iPhones.
Uh-oh.
I want to talk about new dongles.
Yep.
Drop tests, your questions. But first, I want you, Leo, to talk about our sponsor, Hover.
It's kind of an interesting coinky dink because as I was driving in, Hover called me. James. Hi, James. And said, we've noted some unusual activity in your account. And they within an hour, they said, we stopped it. We figured out what's going on. I love Hover. So Hover, what is Hover? Hover's domain registrar. So if you are looking, if you're one of those people, I know a lot of you are, that makes a hobby of registering domain names, you're going to love Hover. If you have a website, if you have email, Hover is the best way to not only register those domains, but to manage those domains. And the reason I got a call from James is because I use Hover for my email. And Hover does that too. In fact, that's all they do. And this is another thing I like about Hover. No upsell. They do the things you need, but they don't try to sell you stuff you don't want. Hover has every domain extension out there. It's fabulous. 400 of them. You could use .blog instead of .com or .biz. You can use .tech, .photo, .ninja, .pizza. They've got them all. And Hover domains are the easiest way to manage your domains. Now, let me tell you something. If you're a business, even if you're just an individual, you need your own custom domain name. For email alone, in fact, the first thing, when Abby and Henry were born, first thing I did, I got their domain name. I registered it so they'd have it. I knew they wouldn't want it when they're little infants, but I saved it. I got a 20-year registration at Hover so that when they came to adulthood, and now they're both saying, okay, I want my domain name now, which is great. It's very gratifying to me. If you're a business, you get your domain name. Get it now. And you can set, and Hover makes it easy to set. In fact, scroll up a little bit, Kevin, there, because you'll see all the different services you can attach Hover to with just, simple clicks. WordPress, of course, our sponsor WordPress, and Squarespace too, and Facebook and Blogger and LinkedIn. And so this is great. Email, big, big tip here. Get your custom email address at hover.com and then have them forward that email. That way, if you say, I'm going to use, you can still use Gmail. You can still use whatever you want. But when people send an email to my my name, it goes, you know, leolaporte.com. It goes to Gmail. But Hover does that, and I love that. Blog domains are on sale now at Hover for the entire month of October. If you want a .blog, just I have leolaporte.blog, of course, just $8.99, 70% off for your first year. Whatever your interests, Hover has an extension for you. Best-in-class customer support. Again, thank you, James. Boy, he saved my life. He saved my life. No upsells. The Hover Connect feature means it's easy to connect your domain name to any host or website builder with just a few clicks. I've used that a bunch of times. Personalized email that matches your domain and further supports your online identity. Show the online community who you are and what you're passionate about with a great domain name, or two, or three, or in my case, 100. Go to hover.com/twit. You'll also get 10% off your first purchase. Hover.com/twit. I'm so glad to do a Hover ad today because Hover did me a big service. Thank you, Hover. And I turned on two-factor on Hover, and I turned it. They have a monitoring to see how your domain name, how their Hover login's been used. Their security is fantastic. Thank you, Hover.
John gave me an addition to my Apple Watch.
Something new?
The Siri. Yeah. What do you look at that?
Oh, he cut it down. Uh-huh. Now it really does look like a Series 3.
I'm totally gonna wear that.
Just leave that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do a thing.
Yeah.
You have the gold watch. I like
the rose
that.
Gold. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty. Mm-hmm. I had the white edition, and I thought, well, I'll trade it in, and I'll get the gray. Just, I wish they did a black. I don't know why they didn't do a black. But what I did find, oh, I'm sorry. I'll put it where you can see it. What I did find about the ceramic, because I had the white is a year old now, it just never wears. It's like magic material. I wish they'd make ceramic phones.
Yeah.
So nice.
But that space gray is the same as the space gray phone, really.
Yeah, it kind of is. Color. It's gray, though. I wish it were black.
I like it.
I've had ceramic watches for years. I'm a big fan of the material for watches because it wears so well. And I think that they use a sapphire glass. I hope they do now. I just dropped it on the top of it. But it's pretty. It's gray, though. Oh.
Are you getting a phone call on that thing?
Yeah, somebody's calling me.
Oh.
It works.
Huh.
Should I answer it?
Sure.
No, I don't want to answer.
But yeah, your phone is off.
That's so cool.
You got a phone call.
It works. Okay.
That's amazing.
We've proven it.
Okay. You know how much I enjoy talking about dongles. Apple released a new dongle that will let you charge, and it includes a headphone jack at the same time.
They didn't have that before?
They had the stand that but now they have the actual dongle. That is, they didn't sell it before. It existed, but Apple didn't sell it.
Other people made it?
Yeah. So do you?
Oh, yeah, because I swear I've seen those.
Right, because weren't you complaining about this on the plane?
Pain in the butt.
You wanted
to charge and listen, yeah.
All my headphones are Bluetooth now.
This is the number one complaint from people who don't like the missing headphone jack is because that's really the only real issue because you could just use the adapter that they bundle in the phone with a phone and still use your headphones, but you can't charge at the same time. So I don't really want to carry that around, but it's nice that they offer it.
Right. Bulging iPhone gate. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I keep waiting for mine to bulge. Nothing.
At least two people have said that the have reported bulging batteries. This is a regular. This is just people digging around to find.
Well, all lithium. So this is a problem with lithium ion batteries. Apple's had this problem before with Macs as well as iPhones. Everybody's had this problem. It is the precursor to the problem Samsung had with their Note 7. Bulging batteries, lithium ion swells if it's defective and gets overcharged. But the next step after swelling is exploding and bursting into flames. So it's never a good thing. And I'm sure Apple immediately, if they see that, replaces it. Mm-hmm. In cases where that's happened in the past, and you're not near an Apple store to turn it in, they'll send you a special box. And it has all these warning labels on it. It says, do not put on an airplane. Samsung did that with the Note 7 as well. So there's anything that stores a lot of energy in a small space has some danger, potential danger, because if it released that energy suddenly instead of slowly over time, that would be fire. That would be an explosion. Your car has that with the tank of gas. Anything that can give you enough energy to run the phone for a day or two potentially be dangerous. Lithium ion is, I think, a fairly safe technology. We know how to make these batteries well. But yeah, occasionally you'll have these problems. I'm sure Apple stands behind it.
We got an email from Glenn. I know it's about Face ID, which we haven't used yet, but I thought it was a good discussion. He says, I was hoping that you guys would address a couple of accessibility concerns about the iPhone X. I'm sure you don't remember, but I have cerebral palsy. And when I saw the iPhone X Face ID, three accessibility concerns came to mind. I'd love to know yours and Leo's take. Do you have to be perfectly still for Face ID to work? This can be difficult, if not impossible, with cerebral palsy. With the new edge-to-edge design, will operation be more difficult for those with manual dexterity issues? What if someone is not physically able to lift the phone? Sometimes my hands don't want to cooperate, so I lay my phone down and use the touch ID.
Really great questions, all of which we can't answer until it comes out. But that's absolutely legitimate questions. I guess Apple's response would be, well, that's why we make an iPhone 8, that you have a choice. I am really going to have a hard time recommending the iPhone 10 for not just for people with cerebral palsy, but for anybody. I'm just not convinced it's worth the extra money.
Well, you have to. It's supposed to be able to tell when you look, like when you're sitting down.
The key on Face ID, and we've talked about this many times, and it's still an unknown a little bit until the phone comes out, is you have to somehow trigger it. You can't. It would kill the battery if the phone were always looking for faces. I was hopeful that the phone would just be activated as long as it could see you. But after I thought about it, I realized, well, that's just going to kill the battery. The phone, camera can't always be on. So you have to trigger it somehow. Apple says you trigger it by lifting it or by looking at it. And that's so, again, we just don't know. We have very limited information from Apple until the iPhone X comes out. And God knows when we're going to be able to get one. Because I'll get online at 1 second past midnight on October 27th to try to get us one as quick as I can. I'm sure you'll do the same, but we don't know if we'll be able to get one by October 3rd. It's unclear, will it work if you can't hold still? I don't know. I would think so, but I don't know. How do you trigger it if you can't pick up the phone? Can you tap it? I don't know. We'll just have to see.
And what about the edge-to-edge? Have you heard anybody? I know you
have. Well, I have concerns about it because one of the weird things that's so strange is because Apple will make a phone like the 8 with a fingerprint, a home button and a fingerprint button, and a phone like the 10 without, the user interface is dramatically different on the iPhone 10. On the iPhone 8 and every iPhone previous, if you want to exit an application, what do? You press the home button. There is no home button. So there are, we've learned, a series of swipes that you have to learn. And apparently, I've been told by some who've looked at the iPhone X, Apple will indicate where you can swipe with a subtle vibration or, something so that you know. But I'm not a big fan of these kind of mystery controls. We saw that with Windows 8, and it really was a disaster because it's hard to figure what they are. But, of course, Apple's good at user interface design. Maybe they'll figure out a way to kind of trigger that. It will have a different user interface. Will it be easier for you to use? I don't know. You're going to have to try it. It could be easier, right? Because a swipe for some people might be easier than getting your finger on the home button. A lot of unknowns.
Known unknowns and unknown knowns.
I don't know.
We talked about this already a little bit, but Rick says there are more problems with the Apple Watch than connecting to unauthorized Wi-Fi. My LTE doesn't work at all anywhere. Apple knows this is an issue. Twitch shows are not discussing this, and it's frustrating. Bo Serenity Caldwell on iOS Today and Jim Dalrymple on MacBreak Weekly said the Wi-Fi is the only problem.
I don't know what this other problem is, LTE. There were activation issues early on, and that's a cell carrier issue. I activated my LTE with T-Mobile instantly. I am going to be paying after 3 months, $10 extra a month.
Oh, but you get 3 months free?
You get 3 months free.
Oh.
But for nothing, because they aren't giving me, they actually do give you a new phone number, but it's not usable. The phone number is the phone number of the phone, as you could see. I guess it works. I'm still in Wi-Fi, so I haven't had an experience yet, but I haven't. Have you read widespread LTE issues?
I haven't.
The only issues I saw were activation issues, and I presume that those have cleared up over time.
Yeah. Another Rick, this was a different Rick, also wrote in about something we should all know about iOS 11. When you take a screenshot and you go to edit mode, if you click done, you have the option to save photos or delete screenshot. If you choose save to photos, the screenshot gets saved to Apple Photos, and Google Photos app will upload the photo as expected. If you choose delete screenshot, you think it just gets deleted, but in actuality, it gets saved in the Apple Photos app in the recently deleted folders. Apparently, this folder is also monitored by Google Photos as those screenshots got updated to Google Photos. Now, I tried to test this. So we've shown this off before. If I want to take a screenshot,
any picture you take, and think of the screenshot as a picture.
Right. So,
like you did it with the camera.
But then
that is as soon as you're done with that, that's saved to the camera roll. See, saved to photos.
But wouldn't you expect delete screenshot? I mean,
it's going to go to the trash can.
Right. It goes to the recently deleted.
Yeah. And that's a feature of Apple Photos so that you don't, you could back out of a deletion. There it is, right there.
Yeah, there's the recently deleted. And that's not it.
So it's not there?
No. That was the dark underwear. Okay, let me explain this. I often get Twitter advertisements for men.
Oh, you saved it.
And
why
I
are you
it
getting those?
I tweeted
you
it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Megan is a common man's name, I think.
No, I don't think it's. So
there's a screenshot.
I tweet about technology. It thinks I'm a man.
In your trash can.
Yeah. So it's
now. Let's see if Google Photos picks it up.
Google Photos. Well, is there a recently deleted?
No, there isn't anything like that in Google Photos. In fact, if you use Google Photos to clean up your, this is a nice tip. If you use Google Photos to clean up your space on your phone, you can have Google Photos. You could say in the settings, delete backed up photos. Any photo I've backed up to Google, all it does is move those photos into the recently deleted on Apple's Photos. So it does have access to that folder, obviously. Mm. I think there is one possibility. You can tell Google Photos which folders on your phone to back up. Do you think it's possible he told Google Photos to back up his deleted folder?
Maybe. So you can tell Google Photos which folders to back up or not back up.
I'm pretty sure you can. I know you can do it on this is the problem because I use Android as well as an iPhone. What? It's possible that I am mistaken about that capability. But I think what happens with Google Photos, let me look at the settings here. Huh. No, maybe that's an Android-only feature.
Mm.
On Android, you can say which folders to monitor, but I guess there's no way to do that on iOS. And that makes sense because, iOS is very careful about not giving other applications access to folders created by your application. I'm not sure why he's getting that. I don't think it happens to me either. So maybe he accidentally saved it before he deleted it.
Maybe.
Because it would get backed up then.
Well,
anybody else have this happen to them?
No.
Let us know.
If you're running Google Photos on another device that got the image from iCloud Photo, that's what DigMax.
But you shouldn't have gotten it from iCloud because you never saved it, right? Mm-hmm. That's the key on this, right? Is he didn't save it.
Right.
He deleted it immediately.
Yeah.
Don't know. That doesn't sound like that shouldn't happen. Let's put it that way.
We got an email from Kenny. When you were gone, we talked about how Amazon had weirdly removed VoiceOver from the Alexa app. You couldn't use VoiceOver, like the accessibility VoiceOver that people use to have Siri speak whatever's on the screen. Suddenly, if you were using the Alexa app, you could not use VoiceOver, and this was a known issue. But Kenny wrote in that it's not an issue anymore. Now you can use VoiceOver. So if you were not using Alexa because you regularly depend on VoiceOver.
That would be too bad because Alexa is such a boon for people with a variety of disabilities. The ability to talk to we shouldn't say the A word. We should call it Echo.
I know. I said the A word a lot.
That Echo is such a boon for people who can't, hold up a phone or whatever. They can talk to it. I look forward to the day when we can have real conversations with all of our devices. At that point, I'll have no more friends. I'll just hang out with my things.
I know. Who would you choose to co-host this show with you? Like, which new Echo device would you choose?
Oh, that's a good thing. That little clock.
The spot. She is pretty. Been replaced by the Echo Spot.
Why do you think they put a camera in that? Is it so you can call somebody from your bed?
I guess so, yeah.
I'm sleeping right now. What do you want?
Did you order that little
yeah.
alarm clock, the little spot?
I didn't order the Kinect, which is their speakerphone.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, who has a wired phone, like a landline? Do you have a landline
I
phone?
I do, but I don't know then if I already have that, why I would need the thing to connect.
I don't really understand it either.
I have it, but I don't use it. I don't use my landline.
No, we got one for the burglar alarm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for emergencies.
Yeah. I have it only because Sonic gives you one.
Oh, you get one automatically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really sure what that Kinect is. I really felt like that Echo event, the Amazon event, was really just, here's 100 different things. See which ones work. Yeah. Right? Why bother doing testing and research? Let's just make them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the weirdest one was the button, the trivia button. They make, so you can have a trivia game.
Yeah, so you can play those.
We had a guest in studio, one of our fans, who just for fun writes Amazon Echo tasks.
Uh-huh.
Already wrote tasks, trivia game with his kids so they can use those buttons.
We should play that here on the show.
Yeah.
I would like you to talk about another one of our sponsors.
Is there time?
23.
Boy, this show's just whizzing along.
And me. I think so.
Yes, it is. I love 23andMe. Oh, I got to go to my site and show you all my biology, all my stuff. 23andMe is genetic analysis. It's about your 23 pairs of chromosomes that make you, unique from anybody else unless you're an identical twin. You're not an identical twin, are you?
Not that I know of,
okay.
No.
Everyone has a DNA story, and 23andMe lets you read your story. 23andMe will let you discover where your DNA comes from around the world. Look at all the different reports I get. One of the things, I did 23andMe years ago, long before they were an advertiser in the show. And one of the things I found is great is as new research comes out, as they learn more about what your DNA means, that's added automatically. So I go back all the time to read my reports and find out more about myself. At my ancestry composition, for instance, I'm 39.1% British and Irish, 100% European. But did you see this? I got 0.1% Ashkenazi Jewish in me.
I have some Ashkenazi Jew in me, too.
I like that. I'm happy about that. But then look at this. You can go back in time to, like, the Ashkenazi Jewish was sometime between 1690 and 1810. And the most recent British and Irish, and this is actually matches what I know about my genealogy. This is my grandma's side. This is my my father's side, my mother's side. It was my grandmother. It's so cool. You can also find out, believe it or not, and this is an example of stuff that they've learned recently. It was only in 2010 that they finally got Neanderthal DNA. And they thought for a long time that Homo sapiens did not or was not able to, different species, mate with Homo neanderthalensis. In 2010, they got some DNA from old Neanderthal bones. They discovered, wait a minute, many people have Neanderthal genes. I do. I have Neanderthal genes. And so this is a new report they didn't have before. Thanks to new research, I have 265 Neanderthal variants. But I'm less Neanderthal than most of you. But I'm still 4%. Now, you may say, well, how are they going to get your DNA? It couldn't be simpler. You don't have to go to a lab. You don't have to draw blood or anything. You just spit. They get it all from your saliva. See the little kit? You just spit into a little vial. And you send it in, and a few weeks later, they say, okay, go online. Your report's online. So here's some of the Neanderthal variants. Like, are you likely to sneeze after eating chocolate?
Dark chocolate. It's very specific.
Some people are because of the Neanderthal variant. I don't have that. That's why I don't sneeze. I have less back hair. So Neanderthals didn't affect me. Impact me. Infect is probably the wrong word. to the degree that it does from other people. This, you know what? Do this with family members, too. In fact, I don't know what the age limit is on this, but wouldn't a kid learn so much about genetics? This is the future is genetics, and this is all in here.
Finger length ratio?
Yeah. I am likely to have wet ear wax, darker eyes. My ring finger is likely longer. That one's not true, but likely doesn't mean 100%.
Right.
Likely a lot of freckles. Guilty. I'm likely straight. Oh, no, that's my hair. likely straight or wavy. That really doesn't narrow it down, does it? Is that as opposed to curly, maybe? Yeah, I do have wavy hair. Likely dark hair. I am likely to have male pattern hair loss. Thank God I missed on that one. Isn't this fascinating?
It is.
I love this. And you can learn a lot more. Go to 23andme.com/twit. Discover where your DNA comes from. And this is all the science behind the male hair loss stuff here. They give you a lot of... Actually, that's not... This is... So they give you a lot of stuff. And I should also point out that you can download, if you would like, you can actually download your entire raw data. You can see... And so if you happen to have in your house some sort of genetic testing equipment, you can go there and see. 23andme.com/twit. 23 pairs of chromosomes, one unique you. Find out what it all means. I love this. This is going to be a holiday gift. I don't want to say to whom.
Oh.
But in our family.
Oh. Not maybe to you. I am part of your family.
Have you not done it?
I haven't.
Oh.
I want to do it.
Deal.
Okay.
Oh, you got to do it.
I got to do
it. But then what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to have...
Marco.
What's his name? Do it.
My husband.
And then the kids, what's their name?
Yeah.
Do it. And your mom and dad, you want to have do it.
Yeah.
Ryan and Susan, you want everybody to do it because the more you know, it's so fascinating. And I found a long lost cousin. 23andme.com/twit.
Mm-hmm. I think it would...
Cap time.
Yeah.
That's why I suddenly turned into Tigger.
Yeah.
And you suddenly turned into... There. The now hot Russian series three.
Series three hat. We wear caps because we are talking about our favorite apps. Last week, Serenity Caldwell came in and she did not have a hat.
She had a cat.
So she put a cat on
I
her
saw
head.
That. This is hysterical.
So this is not a cat. This
the
is
app
a cat.
Cat.
App cat. we're kind of doing app cats again.
Yeah.
We sort of.
We thought, well, I was so inspired by Serenity, I thought I'd put my cat on my head.
Okay. So as much as I would like to use my platform to discuss gun control and tell you how I believe that we should go the Australian way and have a buyback program, you don't want to hear that. And so instead, I'm going to tell my representatives how I feel. And that's
a good idea.
App.
No matter where you stand on this.
No matter where you
stand. Stand up and be counted.
I told you where I stand. This is an app called Capital Call, and it makes it super easy to make phone calls
There's
to your representatives.
There's Dianne Feinstein, our senator.
So you can give them your address, but it automatically uses your location if you agree to it and says who all your representatives are.
Do you make
are.
A phone call? There's
yep.
Kamala Harris.
Phone calls are really important.
That's the best way to do it.
It's the best way to do it. It's the best way.
Is it easy? Is Dianne going to answer?
Well,
do I have to talk to Senator Feinstein?
Let's try and see.
We can do it?
Yeah. We just called her. You don't
is
have to hide her phone
Is
number.
A human going to answer?
Well, we'll find out. Can you hear that?
Nope. Oh,
how's
now
that?
I can.
Okay.
You don't have to put it right there. It was just not that loud. Hello?
Dianne.
Senator Feinstein.
Hello. This is Senator Dianne
it
Feinstein.
It is.
And you have reached my Washington, D.C. office.
Hi, Dianne.
I'm sorry, but all of our lines are busy right
oh,
now.
Oh, I can guess why.
The phone system will allow you to hold, but it automatically disconnects after 2 minutes. So please... either hold, or if you would rather, call back in a few minutes or 15 minutes or so. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So I'll call
That's
back.
That's awesome.
We don't have to hold. But yeah,
so that
goes
makes it very easy. And actually what you usually get is a staffer, and you just say, here's what I think. And they say, thank you very much. And that's it. And it's very fast.
It's very fast.
And it's very easy. And I highly recommend it. It's the most, we're told by many, it's the most effective way to let your feelings be known to your representative. And I guarantee you, they're busy these days.
Yes.
They're
and
hearing a lot from their constituents, as they should.
Right. And I have a feeling that Dianne's opinions are in agreement with mine. So what I often do is I just thank them. You know, when I talk to a person, I just call and say, thank you. I really appreciate everything that you're doing. And even if they do, even if your representative doesn't agree with your views,
let them know.
Thank them anyway.
Let them know. They're hearing, believe me, they're hearing from the lobbyists. They're hearing from the people with money. So, but the interesting point, we always talk about the dire influence of money in our politics. But remember, all that money goes to is getting votes, is advertising, is winning elections. And ultimately, that means you. So you can completely negate the impact of money in our politics by simply standing up and being counted. This is called what is it called?
It's called Capital Call.
Capital Call.
With an O. As in the Capitol, it's only
and it's on your store. And you
free.
Can download it. It makes it very easy.
Super easy.
I like it.
And yeah, do it.
Yep. Let them know. She's going. Oh, Jimmy Kimmel online too again. Man, that Jimmy. I want to show you something that I just discovered. I feel like an idiot because you've known about it for a long time. It's called Todoist. It is a to-do list. Very simple. One of the reasons I like it, though, is it works on all platforms. They've got a Chrome extension, works on Android, works on Windows, works on Mac. It works, of course, on your iPhone, and it even works on your Apple Watch. And, you know, to me, having a to-do list is important because it just makes life simpler if I just know the things I have to do. But putting it on my watch makes it even better. Oh, look, I have to enter the passcode. Did I take my watch off? Oh, I did. I remember doing that now. All right, let me do this real quickly. So here's the thing. I have a Todoist has an Apple Watch app, but they also have a Apple Watch, what do they call it? Complication, right? Mm-hmm. So it says, you can't read, it's very small, apologize to Megan. So that's the next thing on my to-do list. It'll show what you need to do next. And having that right there on the watch, for some reason, it takes... Oh, I know why. It can't get to the phone because the phone's off. Mm. Okay. But it does, even with the phone off, it does see that. Mm-hmm. So that is just awesome. So I'm going to apologize to Megan, and then I'm going to tell her I like her new haircut, and then I'm going to buy an island. So those are my... That's my big three.
What do you apologize? Are you coming back from the island? Is that what you're apologizing for?
I'm sorry, but I'm leaving. Mm. I'm going to my island as soon as I buy it. No, I don't know. You have, of course, all of the getting things done features that people look for, the ability to create projects. One of the things that's great about this, you can delegate, you can assign, you can set reminders for yourself and others, and you even get karma points as you do all this. I think it's a well-done to-do list. I have it set for the most ugly color, so I probably should make it more. It's red is the default, but I like black because my heart is so black. Excuse me. You can log in, and it will. If you do, you can log in with your Google account, and it will then tie into your Google Tasks. It works with it's really a nice to-do list. Free, but... If you want all the features, and I recommend this, it's like $28.93 or some weird number, under $30, and you get all the features per year, and I think worth it. And I love it that my watch can now nudge me and say, apologize, apologize.
I like it too. so many to do. I still go back to my bullet journal.
You use it, you write it down, your bullet journal won't, I have an on-off switch. I forgot. Mm-hmm. Your bullet journal will not nudge you from your watch.
No, it won't.
That is a nice feature. Mm-hmm. I need that sometimes. Hey, that's our app caps, or cats, as the case may be.
We've done
it. And we've done the entire show. Thank you, Megan Maroney. I'm glad to be back.
I am glad that you're back, too. And I like the new set, but I think I do feel like you're a little bit too far away. Now that you apologized.
Can I come back?
Subscribe to the show.
Oh, please. We'd love it if you'd get it. You know, I'm telling everybody now that you can listen to our shows on your devices, your Amazon Echo or your Google Assistant. If you know the right syntax with Echo, for instance, you just say Echo, listen to iOS Today on TuneIn. You need to say on TuneIn because that's the provider on the Echo. And then you'll hear the most recent episode. You can even listen live if you want. You just go Echo, listen to Twit Live on TuneIn. And if you do that sometime between 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, 1600 UTC, and a little bit later, you'd hear us on the show live. And you could join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. You can also download video. Unfortunately, YouTube no longer works with the Google, Echo Home, or Show, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I presume that means it won't work with the little alarm clock. But I hope they work that out. I do. Because you used to be able to watch our shows if you had an Echo with a screen. But you can watch them at twit.tv/iOS or, you know, subscribe in your favorite podcatcher. Everybody uses Pocket Cast and Overcast and all of those. They all work. Just make sure you find iOS Today. That way you'll hear us every single week. There's her cat. There's Serenity with the cat on her head.
Yep.
Wow. That is a very relaxed cat.
I also have a new show with Jason.
Congratulations.
Tech News Weekly every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific.
5 p.m. Eastern.
Jason and I will interview journalists making and breaking the news. It'll be very different than This Week in Tech. But if you can't wait for the tech news until Sunday, then you can get a little...
We were looking for a newsmaker show, because one of the things we don't get to do on Twit on the Sunday roundtable, it's really journalists talking about the news. And occasionally, if there's a really big story, we'll bring a newsmaker in. But this is an opportunity for you every Thursday to talk to the people who are making the news, who are important in the news, who are covering the big stories. And I think we needed a show like that. So I'm really thrilled that you were willing to do that. Tech News Weekly starts this Thursday.
This Thursday.
2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 2100 UTC. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Now, on this new set, can I just throw my cat?
Yeah, throw your cat.
On iOS today. Yee-hoo!